Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Two. Not one, but two. Just a quick review. We talked about the works of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit searcheth us. And we talked about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 1 through 14. He teacheth us, talking about the deep things of God. Teaches you even the shallow things of God for that matter, but he teaches you the deep things of God, and we went over several of those last week. Stopped in Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 5, talking about predestination and how simple of a truth it really is. We try to make it difficult, but it's really not difficult. Very easy truth. God knows, you don't. That's just the bottom line. God's smarter than you. I know that's hard for some of you, but God is actually smarter than you, believe it or not. God knows things that you actually don't. And then the last one we're going to talk about today is He speaketh. The Holy Spirit does speak several different ways, but we're going to hammer on one today. But I want to start with the talking of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we are going to go back to verse 10. This was in the very first part of our us learning together about the works of the Holy Spirit. And if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Now, I want you to understand, when you get into the speaking of the Holy Spirit, and believe me, not many preachers are willing to talk about the Holy Spirit because it gets into charismatic, it gets into craziness. But I want you to see, first of all, we talked about searching, we talked about teaching, we're going to talk about speaking. Every one of these comes back to one foundation. Every one of these things that the Holy Spirit does comes back to one foundation that cannot be changed, cannot be moved, cannot be altered. It is the Word of God. If you get outside of what the Word of God says, that's not what the Holy Spirit's telling you. Okay? So you can line it up, and I want you to see this verse again. When you talk about the Holy Spirit speaking, I'm not talking about fire running down the clothesline and you getting a revelation of God. When the Holy Spirit's speaking, I'm not talking about some crazy vision that Ernest Angley gave you right after you got bopped on the forehead by him. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I am talking about is verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God." If you got saved, you received that Spirit which is of God. It's not your spirit. God is freely giving it to you. You now are a partaker. Okay? That makes you special in one way. You're redeemed. It does not make you some special psychic. It does not make you some special hotline to the Holy Spirit of God. This is what it does. The Holy Spirit now resides in you. Praise the Lord. Amen? Where people go crazy is they get their own idea of what that Holy Spirit is. They get their own idea of what the Holy Spirit can do through them. And remember when we very first started talking about the Holy Spirit way back. What does the Holy Spirit do through you? Every time, there's never a time it doesn't. It exalts Christ. The Holy Spirit is going to work through you to exalt Christ. It's not ever going to exalt you. If you think that the Holy Spirit is going to speak through you to make you look like you're important, that's not the Holy Spirit's job. The Holy Spirit's not going to speak through you to make you some fantastic preacher. Not going to do it. The Holy Spirit's going to speak through you so Jesus Christ is exalted. And the preacher that does this needs to understand who he is as he's preaching. And a lot of folks have a problem with this. A lot of preachers have a problem with this, where they want to have the preeminence. They want to be the big face on the bulletin. They want to be the guy that, well, come to me. This is where you hear from God. No, you're going to hear from God from God. The guy that's speaking is a mouthpiece only. Now, I want you to see this as we look at this. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, I wish we'd act like it, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know what? We're going to know things. This is really hard to understand. Now, if you've got an NIV, maybe you could understand this easier. But things, you're going to know the things, but what things? Again, very difficult to understand. The things that are freely given to us of God. Which means you're not going to know the things that aren't given to us of God. The things that are given to us of God are going to appear in here. It's wonderful how it all works together. How can you discern whether or not a preacher's a charlatan? How can you discern whether or not a preacher's a liar? How can you discern whether or not a preacher's telling you the truth? If the preacher's outside of the guidelines of the Holy Word of God, then he is a charlatan. If he's outside of the guidelines of the Word of God, he's a liar. If he's outside of the Word of God, he's not giving you the things that are freely given to us by God. Now, I will tell you this. Nobody has a special pipeline from God that God gives them more than he gives somebody else. The things that are freely given to all. Now, not everybody comes to the table. Amen? Many people are satisfied to stay ignorant. I don't want to stay ignorant. I'm ignorant a lot, but I don't want to stay that way. But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want somebody to come to me that has some thought, some incantational right that the devil's put inside their head that they're going to give me that I can't prove in the Bible and say that that's gospel. Yet many preachers get away with it every single week. Why? Because they choose and they desire. I'm going to tell you, a lot of preachers desire their people to stay dumb. Especially in this. A lot of preachers won't challenge you to get in your Bible. Why? Because you might find something out that they don't know. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and it does speak, the still small voice, and a lot of folks say, well, my still small voice told me to go to Dairy Queen. That was your hunger pang. That was not the still small voice. But a lot of people use this and take this and destroy this, so we have a hesitant relationship with God, a hesitant relationship with the Holy Spirit, a hesitant... Let me ask you a question. This is really good. Because I had a lot of folks tell me this since we've had the Bible calendars. And by the way, I hope you keep up with it. It's been a real blessing to very, very many people. I'm excited about that. It's hard, isn't it? You thought, January, Brother Dave, you said this is hard. This is not hard at all. I'm getting through this every day, no problem whatsoever. Here we are. End of March. Man, I'm 3 days behind again. It's hard. You can say what you want. You make it through the end of the year, you're going to hold your hand up and go, woo-hoo-hoo! It's hard. But let me ask you a question. Have you seen things that you've never seen before? Huh? Have you learned things that you've never learned before? Have you been reading and had that thing go? Huh? Do you know what's happening? You're being spoke to. You're being spoke to. I've been through this Bible more than a few times. I learned something every time. I learn something every day. I learn that the offerings last forever. Wave offering, heave offering, clap offering. I mean, there's so many offerings, you know what's going on. But understand this. When you read that, I want you to know something. When you read that, God is going over this over and over and over again. By the way, how many times, Bill was talking to me yesterday, how many times does he list the same thing over and over and over and over in the offering? You know what he's trying to get to the people? I believe this. He's trying to get to them to let them know that the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. You're doing this because your sin cannot be paid for with these things. It's looking forward to the cross when there's going to be one that comes that can. It's looking forward in the Old Testament to Jesus Christ. Everything they're doing there is pointing to Jesus Christ. I have to have an offering for everything I do back in the Old Testament, letting the Lord know that I believe in this that he's telling me. Not that the work got them anything, but it's the belief in what Christ told them. Holy men of God spake as they were moved. So when you're starting to study about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit speaking to you, please understand this. If what the Holy Spirit is telling you does not line up with your Bible, then it is not true. It is not the Holy Spirit speaking with you. It's something else. I don't know what it is, but it's something else. It could be a fleshly desire. It could be the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. It could be anything. What do you take your pick. But unless it lines up with your Bible, it's not true. Amen? Talking about the Holy Spirit speaking, okay? Not talking about everyday life. I'm talking about Holy Spirit speaking. If it doesn't line up with this, or another test, if it doesn't exalt Christ. The Holy Spirit told me to go knock that guy's door down that was an abortion guy. No, it didn't. The Bible never told you that. And that doesn't exalt Christ. Talking to the man, witnessing to him, giving him a track, that's what Christ would want to have you do. Now, as we get into this, I wanted to show you, there's a few places, though, in my opinion, that the Holy Spirit speaks very well. But if you know this, and I want you to read this verse with me, that are freely given to us of God, verse 13, which things also we speak. This is so easy to see. The Holy Spirit speaks to you, by the way, not so you hold it in. He's guiding you personally, but why would the Holy Spirit tell us to do something that's not going to help somebody else? Amen? Or not exhort Christ? Look at this. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. If you are going to be using the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Ghost is going to be using you, you will not be speaking with the wisdom of man's words. You'll be speaking what God would have you to speak. If you're trying to exhort Christ or exalt Christ or hold him up, I promise you, the Holy Ghost, if you will be submissive and realizing what your job is, the Holy Ghost will teach you what to say. You say, really? Yeah, because listen, how many times have I asked you the question, what dwelleth in your flesh? No good thing. Is it a good thing to exalt Christ? Then if it's a good thing to exalt Christ, you are incapable of doing the same. Because in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. So God's going to have to help you to exalt Christ. Amen? I mean, seems to me that this is, I know it's real profound and difficult to understand, but if you're going to sit there and say, well, I am the great, that's why I don't believe that you can get saved apart from the Word of God. It makes no sense to me. How can in your flesh dwelleth no good thing, but in my flesh I'm going to lead somebody to Christ? Does that make sense to you, preacher? You can get mad at me all you want to. Go tell your testimony. Get them all softened up. But at the end of the day, you better bring the nail home with the Word of God. I'm not saying not to talk to somebody. I'm not saying go up to them with your Bible out and say, thus saith the Lord. But eventually you're going to have to say, thus saith the Lord. Eventually you're going to have to put in there that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. To me, you got to let the Holy Spirit do his work. Let him speak through you Forget about what you want to say. Somebody say amen to me this morning, because I'm going to tell you, we worry too much when we go out to go soul winning. We worry too much. Well, I can't speak. I can't. You're right. You can't. But the Holy Ghost will speak through you. He'll speak to you. And if you'll submit to Him, by the way, I think our soul winners ought to be a little bit more educated when they go out. Well, that went over like a brick. I think everybody ought to got soul winning. I really do. But why in the world won't you learn the Romans road to go out?
Right.
You got time. Well, why wouldn't you learn a few verses when you go out, or mark them in your Bible, or have something in your hands that you can take with you to go out? Because I'm going to tell you, churches very close to us that are supposedly independent fundamentals say, oh, it's all right, take any Bible out you want to go soul winning. It's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. If you take any Bible out soul winning, what's the most important thing for a Christian to do? Go out soul winning. That's it. That's what we're here for. Get people saved. Is that what our job is? That's what it is. It's amazing to me that it's okay to lead somebody to Christ with a piece of junk, but it's not okay to preach the piece of junk. I'm sorry, I got a problem. It either is or it isn't. I stand for the King James, but you can take your NIV out soul winning. Not with me. I don't understand that. I'm not going to preach out of it. I'm not going to teach out of it. I'm not going to try to lead a soul to Christ out of it. It's either right or it's wrong. It's amazing to me. It's either right or it's wrong. Next thing you know, one drop of alcohol is okay. Next thing you know, as long as a little wine for the stomach's sake. That's in the Bible there, preacher. Be very careful. Yeah, a little wine for thy stomach's sake, because they didn't have Pepto back then. What you got to understand is this: the Holy Spirit is being abused, misused, mistrusted, and ignored completely by Christians today. Because we've got some higher thought. We're so good and so right and so wonderful and so dynamic that we don't need the help of God anymore. We don't need this because we've got it. All you got to do is tell them that Christ died on the cross. You know what is amazing to me? You don't just have to tell him that then. Because then you got to tell him he was born of a virgin. Then you got to tell him this. Then you got to tell him that. How about you just say that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what the Bible says. And why don't you let the Holy Spirit speak through you and exalt Christ? I'm not going to stop preaching on it. You can believe that in your whole heart. Because this world today has become so lackluster and so wimpy and so runny and so backpedaling on this Bible. I'm not going to do it. I won't do it. We need it every week. We need this to be mentioned every single week. Because without it, what do we have? So as you look at this, understand this. It doesn't line up with the Bible. It's not right. If you don't let the Holy Ghost speak through you, because in your flesh dwelleth no good thing, it's not going to be right. But the natural man, verse 14, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. The last person we visited yesterday in soul winning. Bill Dave, I love it that it was the last person we visited, by the way. We go through a little place over in Russian Meadows, knocking on doors. And I'm going to tell you, we met some of the sweetest people you ever want to meet. And the one lady says, man, I heard about you. I said, I'm so sorry. She said, no, I'm going to come visit the church, praise the Lord. She said, I was going to come this weekend, but I have to go out of town. And how many people say that to you? Yep. But anyways, we talked to her, asked, do you know the Lord is your Savior? And one lady, I tried to witness to her. She wouldn't, but it was a great visit. 3-4 doors down, great visit. 3-4 doors down, great visit. Man, I'm getting excited. I very seldom have great visits. People will come to the door when I come. I'm scary. But then you get to this last door, and this fella came to the door. Man, he was mad. He looked at me, he says, you got permission to be here? And I said, sir, I'm just walking the street, asking people if they know the Lord, and wanting to give them a free gift. I'm fairly certain there's no law against that. He said, yeah, whatever, and slammed the door. And I'm going to tell you what came to my mind. They are foolishness unto him. neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. See, what happens is this, and we look at this. Now, be very careful, because I'm going to come back to us here in a minute. The world, don't be surprised when they don't accept you. It's not you that they're not accepting, it's the Lord. As long as you're holding the Lord forth. Don't be surprised when they're spiritually discerned that they don't understand what salvation is. How many religions do we have, Brother Tom, that the people don't know what the Holy Spirit is? They don't know what salvation is, so they make up their own, and now we have Catholics. You can get mad at me all you want to, but that's a God's honest truth. You can get mad at me all you want to, but the reason that we had the Protestant movement was because the Catholics had such a stranglehold, and they were killing people, and people decided, you know what, that can't be right. They're searching, but they never had the Holy Spirit show them. And by the way, people all across the country today are searching. They just don't know what they're looking for. That's why we must keep going. That's why we must keep telling. But we can't tell them our story. We've got to tell them his story. And here's what's amazing to me. We say, well, we walk away, and I did this. We walk away and say, well, he's spiritually discerned. He's not going to accept it because he's of the world. Now, understand this. Inside of you, though, and this is what frightens me, inside of you dwells two wars. One war is against your flesh. The other war is to follow the Spirit. You have the ability in you to be fleshly. Say amen. Okay? But you also have the ability inside of you to be spiritual. Now, we talk about the flesh of the world being spiritually discerned. Can't accept the Holy Ghost. Can't understand it. Can't even receive the teachings. They don't. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. Yet we who have the Holy Spirit dwell in us, watch it now. How often do we find ourselves over here in the flesh? Not over here letting the Spirit guide us, but over here. Remember when we talked about this? Being led by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit. If you're in the flesh, the only words you're going to hear from the Holy Spirit is to say, get out of the flesh. That's all that the Spirit's going to try to teach you. Get out of the flesh. The Spirit's not going to teach you anything else because you can't receive anything else. In your flesh, you say, I'm saved. I can receive anything I want. If you're in the flesh, you choose to be there. You choose to ignore the speaking of the Holy Spirit. You choose to ignore the teaching of the Holy Spirit. You choose to be spiritually discerned. Can I ask you which one is worse? Is it worse to be in the world and you can't understand God, or in the flesh having the ability over here to learn of the thing of God, Brother Bill? You have the ability to learn, but you want to stay over here in the flesh and have your pity party. Why am I not growing in grace in Jesus Christ? I'll let you answer that question. Why am I not getting anything out of the Bible reading? It's become such a drudgery to me. Where are you? Help me now. Where are you? I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to tell you when the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. The Holy Spirit is not going to speak to you when you're over here in the flesh choosing to be here. Go to the bar. The Holy Spirit's not going to speak to you there. He's going to tell you, get out of here. He's going to reveal to you how dark it is there. He's going to reveal to you that alcohol you're about to put up to your lips, saved person, is not supposed to go in your lips. Do you know that alcohol will absolutely crush any ability you have to hear anything from the Holy Spirit? Anything. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. The drink is raging. I know a lot of drunks that are happy people. It's the drink inside of them that's raging. That raging drink inside of them keeps them from learning anything about the Holy Spirit. And what you must understand is, to learn something from the Holy Spirit, you've got to actively reject the natural man. Because you have him. Everybody still has that natural man till we split the portals of glory. Finally getting to heaven. Praise the Lord. You have that natural fleshly man that you must get rid of. You must say, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to be led by the Spirit. Then the Spirit will speak to you. Does it make any sense otherwise? Does it make any sense? You say, well, you're not lost. You're a saved person. How many saved people do you know that are in the flesh? Lots of them. Listen, I find myself in the flesh. Not because I got pushed there. Let's be honest with ourselves. Can we be honest with ourselves? When you get in the flesh, do you just get pushed there? Do you get bullied into the flesh? Bullying's the big term today. Everybody wants to talk about bullying. Okay? I would to God they teach the little kids that are getting bullied to smoke the kid bully in the face. You say, well, how are you going to fix violence with violence? I don't know. How do wars end? The one stronger than the other. I don't know what to tell you, but I know this. I had a bully when I was a kid. I pushed him off the top of the slide with a left hook, and he fell on the ground and bloodied himself up. He was my friend after that. No more bullying. You can take it for what it's worth. I didn't even have that plan, but praise the Lord. If you're worried about bullying, there it is. We'll tell your kid to punch him. But I walk over here. Listen, when I'm in the flesh, Brother Bill, when I'm in the flesh, I walk over here. I come here. Nobody makes me come here. Let me tell you something. Nobody makes you do the bad things you do. Nobody makes you get into the flesh. Come on, you're telling me that you're not strong enough? I find that ironic. You're strong enough to do so many things, but this you're not strong enough? I find that ironic. I find that hard to believe that our Christian people that are very strong, because inside of you dwells a force that is more than a conqueror. Amen? And all we have to do is submit ourselves to it, and it will lead us out of this way, into the Spirit, and into what God wants us to know. My question then becomes, if we want the Spirit to speak to us, and I bet you if I had you to raise your hands that you would say, man, I would really like to hear from the Holy Spirit. My question is, why aren't we hearing from the Holy Spirit? And I'll let you decide what the answer to that is, but if I read my Bible correctly, the natural man, look at this now, let's look at it again. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I'm sorry, I'm not an idiot. I look at this and I see the natural man receiveth not the Spirit of God. You say, I'm not the natural man. I say, you still have him. Because if you were that good, you'd be in heaven. We all still have the natural man. Why do I do the things that I do? Why do I spike the remote control on the floor when my team misses a shot or whatever? Because the natural man is still with me. Amen? And with you. And to me, if I'm in the... Brother Eddie, if we're in a bar mixing it up, are we in the Spirit? But we're in the flesh, so we still have the natural man, right? That warreth in our members. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit speaking to you today. The Holy Spirit did not speak to you to go to the bar in the first place. The Holy Spirit did not speak to you to mix it up with the guy over the color of your shirt. The Holy Spirit did not speak to you saying, get drunk tonight. The Holy Spirit's not going to do that. What did speak to you? Your natural man. And by the way, your natural man always wants to tell you to do those things. Go on, just relax. You ever been on vacation? I want you to think with me. And hey, take this for what it's worth. You ever go on vacation and say to yourself, you know what, if I drank alcohol right now, nobody would know. If I would do this right now, nobody would ever know. I could go back to church the next week and nobody would be the wiser. Who's speaking to you? And let me ask you a question. When that happens, do you think the Spirit's speaking to you? Are you going to learn spiritual things as you seek the in-and-out mark to find yourself some alcohol because nobody else will know? And you say, well, boy, you're picking on alcohol this morning. I don't pick on it. Pick anything you want. Pick anything you want that know is wrong. Your fleshly man wants to keep you from learning of the Spirit of God. Your fleshly man, although it should be dead to you, the Bible says, let I die daily. Well, that death is basically killing your flesh, which I know you can't do that, but it's killing your flesh so you can follow the Spirit. Why do we do things wrong? Because we haven't died yet that day. And by the way, this is a moment-by-moment thing. Your flesh, pow, it's right, bam, there's the flesh. And by the way, let me give you a little encouragement. Everybody deals with this. Everybody fails at this. Everybody in this room fails at this. Everybody in this room has moments where the Holy Spirit's not telling them anything. But let me tell you something. When you read your Bible, be very careful. The place that you're going to learn about the Holy Spirit, where He's going to teach you and speak to you, there's a few places. I'm going to submit to you that your Bible is one of them. And if you're reading your Bible through these calendars or whatever you do, you don't even have to read the calendar. You don't have to do the calendar if you don't want to do the calendar. But you better get in your Bible. And if you get in your Bible, I promise you this, you've got a great chance of not being in the flesh while you're reading your Bible. Although you still may be in the flesh when you're reading your Bible. You may be thinking, I can't believe Brother Dave gave us these stupid calendars. This is stupid. That's what this is stupid. Now, if you are reading and you say, this is stupid, this is stupid, this is stupid, how much are you going to learn? If you don't have the time and you're going to be all bent out of shape about reading, you might as well just put it down and come back to it when your mind is right. Come back to it when your thinking is right. When is the last time you had to prepare to do something? You're going to go solder pipes or lay tile. Brother Mike, I don't think when you went to lay tile in your work that you showed up with nothing. You probably brought something with you, didn't you? A lunch? You probably brought some knee pads. You probably brought a grout float. You probably brought tile with you. You probably brought boots and gloves. You probably brought something to work. So, but what you didn't bring is a hammer to bust the tile before you put it in, to ruin your chances of laying tile. Stay with me. You probably didn't take the hammer and start smashing the tile before you put it in. I'm just going to make it look prettier. No, I'm going to lay it my own way. I want to do things my own way. No, there's a way to do tile, and you have to do it that way. When you come to read your Bible, don't bring a hammer to bust it up. When you come to read your Bible, don't come in. Listen, if you can't keep up with the calendar, it's discouraging you, stop. Because I don't want you to be discouraged, but be very careful. Be very careful that your discouragement isn't fleshly. Be very careful that your discouragement isn't something that you heard somebody else say, I can't do. It's amazing, by the way. Boy, I'm going to hit on this. Wow. It's amazing how who you hang out with makes you who you are. Okay? If I let Brother Brian sit over here and get in my ear about how hard the Bible calendar is, oh, it's so horrible, it's so horrible. It is hard. It's worth it. I think you all ought to do it. You can say what you want to about me, get mad, but I think we all ought to do it, and I think it's good for us and encouragement for us. But if I've got Brian in my ear and I got, oh, man, it's too hard. Oh, this is so stupid. Oh, I can't stand it. Boy, this is bad. I can't believe I ever got into blah, 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 blah. Eventually, you're going to say, man, this is stupid. See, what is the matter with us is we allow sometimes people that are over in the miry pit of the flesh to pull us back in with them. Instead of grabbing that rope and holding on tighter and letting the Spirit lead us out of that mess. When's the last time, boy, this is good stuff too. This is the kind of stuff I like. When is the last time you heard somebody that was discouraging Miss Annie and you walked away and says, you know what, you're discouraging me. No, you know what happens? Your flesh creeps up. Yeah. What did Brother Dave do?
Come on, did he really do that? Oh, he's so horrible. Yeah, I agree with you. He is horrible, man. He can't preach. He can't do nothing. But he always said, oh, man, this is a Bible. Get out of here. I hate Brother Dave. Man, I do too. You can't wait to hear more garbage.
I'll give you an instance. By the way, I don't care what preacher it is. I name myself. Stop talking about me. No, I'm just kidding. I name myself. It doesn't matter who it is. I don't care who it is. You start talking about Mandy, and a lot of people do. You can talk about Mandy. Listen to me. Listen to me. Don't tell me that you're spirit-filled. Don't tell me that the Spirit is telling you to do that. Don't tell me that the Spirit has taught you these things. Don't tell me that. You're not hearing from the Spirit. You're hearing from the flesh, and you're allowing the flesh to be in charge. You saved people. And what happens is this. The discouragement grows. You say, well, I have righteous indignation. It's amazing how quickly you learn that vocabulary. It's amazing, Brother Jordan, how quickly Christians learn the right to be mad statement. Let me tell you when you can be mad. You can be mad when people don't uphold your Holy Bible. You can be mad when people don't uphold Jesus Christ. You can get mad when you hear about abortion running rampant and everybody's okay. Get mad then. That's righteous indignation. Why? Because it's against Christ. But because somebody's against you does not make your indignation righteous. This is going over very, very badly today. I can see that. But aren't we all rubberneckers? Think about this for a minute. Aren't we all rubberneckers? Can you go by a wreck without looking? Why does everybody that's on, and by the way, this is one of my pet peeves. This should be, Brother Fred, this should be a card. You're on the other side of the road. You're on the other four-lane highway. The wreck is over there. The wreck is eastbound. You're headed west. And you're still going 10 miles an hour. Why? Because we want to see chaos. We have a desire to see mayhem. Get Allstate. It's amazing to me that we are people that desire our flesh. Don't you feel that? Don't you feel that? And then all of a sudden your spirit knocks you on the head and say, oh, we should pray for them. Have you ever done that before? Your body, oh, man, that car is messed up. Bang, you hit the person in front of you because they stopped. But, you can't wait to see it. And then you get by it, man. Oh, look at all that blood. Man, that person laying on the ground. We should pray for them. You know what's amazing to me? You should pray for me when I get in a traffic jam. I'm just going to be honest with you. But listen, as we try to be led by the Spirit will speak to us. But there are places that the Spirit speaks to us better than other places. He speaks to us while we're reading His Word. And let me ask you a question. I'm all done because the bell's already rung. We're going to have to finish this up next week. I know you're surprised. One of the most difficult things, and I told you the calendar was difficult. And I think I mentioned this, but I think it's worth mentioning again. The reason that reading through the Bible calendar, by the way, you read through the calendar, you get through the Old Testament one time, Psalms twice, Proverbs 12 times, and the New Testament twice. At the end of the year, you won't believe you did it. You're going to get to the end of the year, oh my goodness, I really did this. And it's fantastic. I love it, okay? I love it. I love how it splits things up and moves things around. I love that. That's one of my favorite things about it. But do you know why it's hard? It's not hard because you can't do it. You can read. I don't think anybody in here is illiterate. Do you know why it's hard? Because your flesh doesn't understand it. Your flesh doesn't understand it. Therefore, your flesh desires to make you tired. If this is what you're going to do with your body, I'm just going to make you go to sleep. Have you ever had your eyes droop while you're reading your Bible? Come on now, stay with my... I'm always bright-eyed and bushy-tailed when I read my Bible. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Boy, that's good, preacher. Let me tell you, I know that you've got this, Paul.
I'm going to skip down to 13. Is Christ divine? None of you ever skip. Beget. Yeah, I get it. Whatever. I'm skipping that chapter, Brother Dave. I'll get myself forgiven later. Do you know why you don't want to do it? Because your flesh doesn't understand it. Stay with me. Please stay with me. If what dwells in your flesh? No good thing. So if no good thing dwells in your flesh, does your flesh want to read the Bible? No. So your flesh is going to have to be something that is put back to read the Bible. Even in your reading. Do you know why it's easy to read a comic strip? Because there's nothing spiritual there. Even in Peanuts. There's nothing spiritual there. However, if you're trying to read your Bible, there are spiritual things there. So your flesh doesn't want to do it. That's why it's a battle. That's why you have to battle. That's why it's hard. So what do? I give you four more things to do in the Bible. Praise the Lord. Why? Because if we can win the battle today, can we win it tomorrow? If we can win the battle tomorrow, can we win it the next day? Can we win it the next day? Why do you get 3 days behind? Because your flesh doesn't want to do it. Come on, stick with me. We're in warfare. See, that's the thing. We're in warfare. We just don't realize we're in warfare. You curse me for it being too hard. It's not my fault. Yeah, we gave you the calendars. It's not our fault. It's the flesh's fault. The flesh doesn't want you to read it. You got to spend 40 to 45 minutes of your day reading that thing. What in the world could you do spiritually if you spent 40 to 45 or an hour reading your Bible? Your flesh is going to say, no! Go get a Twinkie! Do they even make those anymore? Man, I'm telling you, Lord's coming back soon. Tell me that's not true. Hostess goes down. We bail out GMC, but we won't bail out Hostess. Are you kidding me? Baptists of the world, unite. Yeah, but somebody else is going to own them. They're going to skimp on the cream. You know they are. You're going to get a 50-cent sponge cake. Only thing that made a Twinkie better is they'd have frosted it. But let me tell you, the Spirit speaks to you in places better than other places. The Bible is one of those places. The Spirit speaks to you expressly by words. And I believe with all my heart, the reason that you have a hard time reading your Bible is because your flesh. It's not your fault. Just realize who to submit to. Don't submit to the flesh. Read that verse, and if you get tired, shut the Bible and go somewhere else. Do something else. Wake up and then come back to it. But come back to it. Because that's where we're going to learn. From the Spirit. Amen? The next thing we're going to talk about, where does he speak? He speaks in the church house. He speaks in the church house. And I worry about our Christians that don't show up for church. I worry about the fact that our Sunday school's down. I don't care. I know that I'm not very teachy. You're not going to get a whole lot of information here. I just yell a lot. But the reason that you don't show up is your flesh doesn't want you to show up. It's not the preacher. It's your flesh. I find fault in him. Yeah, so what? Everybody does. Follow me around with a pad and pencil. You won't be able to last for the lead. I know I've got faults. I get it. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. But let me explain something to you. So do you. And you're going to have to beat your flesh to come to church. Hey, take great pride today. Get excited. You won the battle this morning when you woke up and didn't want to come. You won the battle. Your flesh was defeated, and you're hearing from the Spirit if you allow it. We battle every day, all day, with your flesh. Why doesn't the Spirit speak to me? Because you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. So read your Bibles. That's a good start. And we'll talk about some more next week. Amen? Amen.
Brother Marty, can you stand up and lead us in prayer, please?